Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Yeah. Welcome to J.Ill, yeah. A production of iHeartRadio. Yeah.
What's up, everybody? It is Jill Scott, Laia St. Clair, and Aja Graydon Danzler. We are here on J.Ill, the podcast. We are coming to talk to you. I hope you've had a great week. I've had a... Y'all all right? Y'all been okay?
We good.
Anxious to talk about this thing that's been on your mind, child.
Yeah, because this one been heavy. You had mentioned this.
Yes.
One.
I have. Yeah. I want to talk about the evils of the music industry.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time.
Hey, we got plenty of time. I'm putting parentheses around this thing.
Come on.
Yes. I'm putting parentheses around it. Let's see. What are the evils? Let's.
Oh shit!
What we think they are.
The list.
Oh.
Anything with the word perpetuity on it.
Hey, ma'am.
Come on, somebody.
Ma'am.
Anything I don't know what, with 360.
Ma'am.
Oh, okay, wait a minute. Now y'all talking music. Now y'all talking music artist stuff. Now perpetuity. That means something different.
That, to some that of is us. Called enslavement. Maybe. You know the
and
word
that's
enslavement.
A mighty long time.
Are you familiar with the word enslavement?
I am. I heard of that.
Perpetuity. Same shit.
It'd be on contracts that you doing something to protect. Wow.
Yes, we have 50% of your publishing in perpetuity. Oh. Anytime you see perpetuity anywhere ever, you stop what you're doing and walk away right now. Okay?
Anything my mama said no,
360,
thank you.
I'm sorry. If I write a book, there is no reason on this planet that I need to give my music label a piece of my book. That doesn't make any sense. I'm not singing words.
Break it down, Jill, because this is like 10 years old, right? The 360 deals. I feel like they like a little tent, right? Like
they're older, but they still occur. For all your merchandising and all, anything that you are, you have a commercial for. Mm-hmm. Anything that you do that makes money from you being you and you having your talent is 160 degree of all the money that you make.
Even your touring.
A label can do that? You saying a label can't be in your commercial money and your book money? That a label can do that?
Oh. If you let them.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you let them. That one right there for me is a big one. I feel like that is not necessarily an evil, though. I think it's a fucked up practice by an industry that's just accustomed to being fucked up.
Well, isn't it an industry that's derivative off of the alcohol beverage industry? Like, I mean... if you get into the histories of the ills of this, the many things that this industry has been involved in.
Alcohol is not evil. It's the use of it.
Right. Alcohol business.
Right.
Right.
That's really where I'm at. I don't think that the music industry is evil. I think the use of it is. I think you're in trouble when you come into an industry at all and have a facade. If they've created it for you or you put it on yourself.
I was about to say, artists help create that facade.
Of course.
I mean, artists are complicit in the mess. Right. But at the same time, too, it's like you cannot, it's like you faulting the starving man for stealing. You know what I'm saying? Like at the end of the day, they set us up in these situations in which they gatekeep all the doors. And then you have this talent, you have this ability, and you want to live while doing it. And it's just like, if you want to get through the door, you got to do this. I mean, there was a time when artists weren't even reading the contracts. You know, there was a time when it was just about, I just got to get the music heard. I just got to be able to pay my rent. And that is, but I won't even say there's a time. That time still exists. And it exists in every facet of the music business. It exists in all of the offshoots of the music business and all the ways in which the artist ends up at the bottom rung. And the artist, for the most part, has been Black and brown people. That's been the people who have been doing the artistry since the beginning of this business. And so it makes all the sense in the world that we end up at the bottom. I mean, come on. It's just right in line with all the other shit.
And what's that?
Music. The problem with...
What,
you know,
is it?
Playing with y'all.
Come on. What is it, girl? Today. Come on.
White supremacy. Listen, this is my thing at the end of the day, right? Is that for me, I just can't be mad at artists in general, but particularly at Black folks, for just trying to live. I have an issue with the industry itself for making it so hard for us to do that. And that just doesn't make sense to me. And the only way we can do that is be independent. It's just hard to be independent when you're not in a free society. A society doesn't set you up, that's set up for you to fail, set up for you to be in bondage, set up for you to be in servitude. And that's just what it's set up for. And I just don't see any way, unless we just completely abolish this industry, for it to not be evil. And I do think it's evil. Anything that wants you to live under those kind of conditions is evil.
It is the system. It is. I agree with you. But you can't take out your responsibility in the play. You can't do that.
Why is my responsibility not just being fed, eating, taking care of myself?
I understand.
It's always more for Black folks. I don't know. I feel like that's
I understand. I, you know, this is going to be one of those conversations because I just come from a different place.
Come on from it, Jill.
I come from a different place, damn it. You know, when money got tight, really tight, mm-hmm. and we didn't have food in the cabinet, food showed up. Mm-hmm. Food showed up because my grandmother was kind. And when she had a lot, she shared with people. So now here we are without much at all, and people are sharing with us. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm in a firm place that God will make a way out of no way at all the time. So when you're telling me that you joined, you got into this industry and you ended up sleeping with a bunch of people to get to the top, it is a portion of your choice, because that is not my experience. I know I'm just one person, but I...
Yeah, but what do you tell a person who ain't got no grandma? What you tell a person with no grandma who mother's in jail?
I'm saying there's an option. I'm saying that there's options.
I'm not saying there's no option.
What if they don't know the option? What if they're not...
Well, we're here to tell you right now. Anybody who want to touch you inappropriately, anybody that wants you to come into a back room and do something for them to pleasure them, and they're in your industry, they're not doing the right thing. They're wrong as fuck. You should walk away, run away, get away, and try something else, and keep trying something else, and keep trying something else. That is not the people you need to be around. If it's your manager setting you up to be in a threesome, that shit happened. The fuck?
Say what?
That what? Happened. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
but
yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. Because ain't shit happened. I got the hell out of there. I was like, wait a minute. Kool-Aid is funny. Wait a minute.
a boyfriend showing he's sitting close to me. Why is he sitting
what
so
I'm
close
saying
to
is
me?
That I guess my vibe at the end of the day is fuck the manager. Fuck whoever does business with the manager, put that shit on blast.
Word.
We spend a lot of time telling artists, women, people what they shouldn't do, but we don't spend enough time telling this industry that we, number one, don't need it, and number two, that we're not going to allow them to exist under these conditions.
Word.
I can't get into what's on a woman's mind when she allows her body to be used or sold. I can't get into that because right. I, like you said, I don't relate. I've right. never been that desperate before. But to pretend that that kind of desperation is a lack in judgment only is not fair.
I'm not saying it's a lack of judgment. I'm saying that you have an option. You always have an option.
Hopefully in this moment, they listen to Jada Ill or Lisa Auntie or a sister.
Work with Low.
In the sense of the option, I agree with you.
I did Demolition. Yeah. Don't tell me that there's no way. I'm a woman with breasts doing Demolition. My back is still jacked up to this day. I wanted to learn how to act. Could not afford school. Found Ozzy Jones called me and found an apprenticeship. I mopped them floors, I cleaned them toilets, I sold them tickets, I ironed those costumes, I hung those lights for $150 a week. They did happen to give health insurance, hallelujah, but that's not enough to live off of, okay?
But Jill,
and
you think
I got free acting lessons.
But you think all of that has to do with who you are and the women who brought you up as a woman in a way? Like, I think that's all I think Asia was saying in a way. Everybody doesn't have that.
I need you to get it, though.
Okay. All right. Ooh.
I need you to get it. Instead of falling prey to something, I'm trying to let you know what it is. If somebody pull you in the back room and try to get you to do something that you don't want to do, maybe it's just you don't want to do it tonight. Maybe you would think about doing it later. That's your business. But you don't have to do anything you want to do. And guess what? When you're in a situation like that, you must call it out right then and there.
That part.
Right then and there.
That part.
Don't wait till later. Don't be right then and there. Parents, I know you might want your child to sing a song because they can sing a song, praise the Lord. But you can't leave your children with these grown-ups that you don't know because they're in the industry. Because they got a card and they drive a nice car. And they say, you know.
Chocolate factory.
All kinds of things. To your kid, to hype them up, to get them where you think they need to be. You cannot leave your children alone with them. You don't know them.
Let me say, I got a message also to some folks that things like this don't happen where people don't know. See, the ignorant is one thing, but the people who know,
word,
that's something different. So I look at it like this. Don't be in public saying you love Black people. And then behind closed doors, allowing Black people to be used and abused on your watch.
Oh, that's the music business. Oh, sorry. But that's the music.
But that's what we're talking about, right? We're talking about the fact that, yeah, a person can walk away, but there's going to be that person that's so vulnerable that they don't have that strength. And so we have to think about the most vulnerable person. We talk about this on the show all the time. The question is not about the person strong enough. Question is about, is the person who's weak, the person who's most vulnerable, are they protected?
Yeah.
And to the way I look at, and I look at what you're saying as true, don't get me wrong. A person, today you want to save somebody because somebody's going to hear what you said and they're going to take heed to it.
I don't want to
act like that's not the case. But for me, it's like, we have to be more cognizant of the fact that the victim, the person who's being abused, is not the only person responsible for their safety. That we have to have a sense of responsibility for one another. We have to have a sense of responsibility for all, because you never know when you're going to be the vulnerable person. You're vulnerable depending on what room you're in. If you put me in a room full of scientists, I don't know shit about what they're talking about.
Word. Some of it. You know some of it, Agent. You don't.
I know. Well, I know a corner. I know a 16th.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
I'm joking.
I don't think that we're at all having an argument or arguing between each other. I think we're
right. I'm loud.
I think that we're on the same plane.
Right.
But when we're talking about the evils of the industry, and I hear it so much, the music business is evil. I've been, like I said, you guys, that whole Illuminati shit, that I was in Illuminati, I was like, I don't even know them. I mean, I never got nothing. Like, I'm not a card. Like, I don't get a membership party or something. Like, I should know this, right? You know, I
don't see it. And you're too earthy for the boule, so,
That just blew my mind. But it's evil. I had to say.
Did this officer say she too earthy for the boule?
That part.
I'm under the goddamn table. I'm under the table. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a table and I'm under it. She passed the paper bag test. I'm sorry. Fuck that. Did she get in?
Not today. She in her yellow. So not today. I'm sorry. We got off this.
We about to get in good black trouble for that one. Anyway,
my grandma said I look like raw chicken.
Bless her heart.
Ooh, look like raw chicken, baby.
Okay. All right.
Look, there is no shame to this blackness or me.
Amen.
It Hell does yeah. all kinds of things. It goes from golden brown to red, sometimes green. Deal with it or don't.
Okay. That's the beauty of it.
I want to talk about just the whole money factor.
Yes.
Like, I want to talk about this. We congratulate a lot of people in the music business for making money. Mm-hmm. And then we elevate them as this show of Black excellence. And particularly in the music business and in sports, but particularly in the music business, if you make a lot of money in the music business, then you are like a jewel in the crown of Black achievement.
Yeah.
And it's like, for me, I feel like there's something about that don't settle in my heart.
Of course.
Because I'm thinking to myself, like, I know how people make money in this business. I know how many people are under the foot of that.
I was about to say under the back or something.
And we in the history of the Black Month, Black History Month, the history of... History of the Blacks Month. We're in Black History Month. And it's like, you know, you'll mess around and see some of these folks being lauded during this time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like, wow, this is where we're at. Just any person who got a lot of money is worthy.
This is
of our lauding and respect.
Business. It's about money. It's not about your health or your well-being or your heart or your family or your education. It's about money.
How do you and I reconcile that? Because I have a hard time.
And why? And what Asia usually says, the white supremacy.
It is always, it's the white supremacy of it all that bothers me. But
I'm sorry.
No, you got a story? What you got?
Well, I have a story. I just wanted to say, since we're talking about the money, okay, musicians. When you come into a studio, make sure you have a split sheet when you walk out that is signed by everybody.
Now that's a piece of information. That's the information right there.
That producer might sample that one thing that you did and make something out of it over and over again. You never know. You have to walk out of the room with a signed split sheet by everybody. Everybody got to sign. Everybody that's in the room got to sign it.
Shit. Yeah. That's some good lesson tree right there.
I got one.
What you got?
Let's go.
Please, Lord, do not sell your publishing.
I knew you was going with the P word.
I was thinking about it.
Don't do it.
I was thinking just about it.
Do not do it. Please.
Now, Miss Asia, it sounds really easy, but if somebody offered me like $100,000 or more, I mean, I can write something visually that's new, you know, and it'll be fine.
Right? Okay, so let me put you this way. You want $100,000 for your publishing. You just said that, right?
Yeah, that's what they get. That's okay, a lot of money. I ain't never seen that.
I wrote a song that was never even number one 20 years ago. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I make, so I don't want to say exactly, but
I see you thinking, trying to figure it out.
Let me just say that
this is one song we talking about.
This one song, and I've written every song except for three on seven albums.
Come on.
So what I'm saying is that one song I wrote, uno, okay?
Go ahead, give us the note.
I can make that money back in a year. Less than. No, right. Not less than. Less than 2 years.
Right. So you can make it back. So
the point is, why would I take that up front if I can make that money back in a year or two off one song? And that was 20 years ago.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? My point is, it's never worth it. The numbers are never worth it. They're never worth it. And they're never worth it in books. They're never worth it in movies. There are people who have, for example, the whole thing with Star Wars. It's like people who have taken shares of movies when they did a small movie or whatever the case may be, and then it blew up. Mm-hmm. All this different stuff. All of this, these moments where we give away our work are all moments that we have to consider as things that are on money that's on the table. And not just money, but just accessibility to the thing that you created. It's not even always about the money you earn. It's being able to do whatever you want with your shit. I can't do anything with my music without permission from somebody else. And not because I don't own the publishing, because I don't own the master recording.
Come on. Oh.
Well, Boyz II Men, they said that they wrote that whole first album. That's Michael Bivins' money. I just want people to think about that. Think about all them songs. All he did was change the title. That's what Michael Bivins did. He said, that sounds good, but you change that title. Oh, I'm going to take some of that money. I'm not talking bad about Michael Bivins because this is the music business. That's the funny part. Like, I'm not insulting him, because if you don't...
You're not insulting him. What you're bringing light on is that Black folks do this to other Black folks.
That's what I'm saying. Well, what is Motown? What is Philly International? Yes. And so this whole conversation, to be honest with y'all, made me go back to what y'all always talk about our ideas of success and how we still follow like the white man's vision of success and his way of getting there. Oh, you gotta...
That's the system.
That's the system.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that we want so badly to function within it. But the truth of the matter is that if we choose to function within it, these are realities that we're going to consistently deal with.
Right.
And unless you just break the whole thing down. And breaking the whole thing down starts getting into a much more difficult, much more wide range conversation about who gatekeepers are and, you know, and power and money and, you know, all of these different things that eventually become a bigger conversation that are tied into the country we live in and the world we live in and the way that it's set up. It's like it has those kind of global implications. It just it's not a simple conversation. Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes we have this feeling like we can come up with a set of rules. And if we follow those rules, then we can navigate this thing and survive it. And the truth is, we might survive it, but as a whole, we're not going to. We're going to continually see many, many casualties. Many, many, many casualties. And we will not be the victor. You'll have a few people who get by. Prince said it himself. You're going to have a few. Have a few that's going to win. But the majority of you will not.
It's the nature of the system. That is what I'm realizing now.
We'll be back after the break.
Ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
(Clears throat) AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
Like, okay. I went on tour, two different tours. One of them, I did not feel treated very well. Mm-hmm. I went on another tour, and it taught me how to tour. I couldn't tour to that capacity, still haven't been able to, but it taught me how to tour. Mm-hmm. So when it was time for me to tour, I did not want to do it like A. I wanted mm-hmm. to do it more like B.
B. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm saying to you that it's very important for you to make decisions. And if somebody is pressing your back against the wall, if you don't sign this, if you don't do this, if you don't do this, you really need to ask for a day. Just ask for a day. If you know, you feel pressed and you know this is going to change your life and it's something that you really need to do, it's deep in your soul to be a part of this, just give yourself some time and consider all the things. You have to understand what's in your contract. You cannot blindly, mm-hmm. it's your life, the one life you got, yeah. the one life you got, and you have an opportunity to share your talents. You have to pay attention.
And it's your work that will outlast your life.
And that's the thing about the publishing, AJ, because
your work will outlast your life.
It's the money is great. I get that part. But my work no longer belongs to me. And the integrity that I have in places will get put on, you know, like we're talking about Thriller.
But the thing is that to not own your work, that's the basic. That's not even like an extra evil. That's an evil that's woven into the basics. Like, you can't sign a deal without signing away some ownership. Unless you are doing things like, and I will say this, right now you have a lot of joint venture conversation where people do that, or licensing where people do that, where they have agreements with people for a time period where right. it's like, I'm able to get the full ownership back after that time period of yes. that joint venture is over. Yes. So I want to be clear with artists that may not understand some of this language that yes, no matter what you do, signing on with partnership in this business does mean signing over some ownership. Whether it's a joint venture or a 360, but what we're saying is that the 360 is on the way on the other end of the spectrum that you want to avoid completely. You want to be able to write your own destiny, have a measure of self-determination where you're just not sitting in a room and signing over all of your rights in perpetuity.
It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Walk in with your eyes open.
Amen.
Please.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about, I'm not saying us personally, I'm saying that I hear it so much, the evil of the music industry. Let me just be clear. Oh, friends, it's evil everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. It's in medicine, pharmaceuticals. It's in your children's education. It's in your church. It's.
I don't know, Jill. Some of them facilities got better HR situations in the music industry. I'm going to just tell you. Like, mm-hmm. It's different respect.
It may not be that specifically, but it's something. We're talking about industry that human beings are running. Human beings have a tendency to be greedy. They have a tendency to be spiteful. They mm-hmm. have a tendency to be jealous.
Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff that goes with people. And if they've been duped once or twice, and I've come across those kind of artists that have been duped. So in turn, they want to dupe other people because they think that that's the system. That's how it goes.
Right.
You have a choice. You don't have to do that ill ass shit. You don't have to do that.
You don't have to.
No.
But what I think what happens is that there's agreements about accessibility. If you want a certain amount of accessibility, it happens in politics, it happens everywhere. And this is the problem with representation being the thing. When we're so pressed to have quote unquote representation, we set people into a room where it's like, we allowed you in here, but in order to be a part of this, you have to basically run the same program. We're just asking you to be the black face of it, or be the brown face of it, or be the female face of it. And so we got to continue to just turn back to this idea that the system itself has to be shifted.
Mm-hmm.
It can't always just be about the individual. Yeah, the individual can get in there and change a lot of things. Think about Toni Morrison, who we, you know, love here on the show and love in real life, that, you know, she worked for a major publishing company and she brought people in there that would have never gotten book deals.
Right.
Radicals, people at the time that governments were afraid of. George Jackson and Angela Davis. So yeah, you can be positioned in a certain place and make a different decision. I believe that, but I think ultimately what we're talking about is shifting the whole thing, like reorganizing the whole thing, because eventually it's going to get the best of us, because it's set up to do so.
I have a label, and I tried once. I tried once with an artist, and I realized, you know, I'm going with all the things that I've learned from being an artist and signing with a record label and distribution and all of that, that I didn't want to treat them the way that I was treated. And I wanted to be cognizant of what they needed and what was fair. And that was a tug of war. Mm-hmm. Because
it wasn't as easy as you thought, was it?
It was not as easy as I thought. I was expected to present as labels do. And I'm like, but we're coming from a different place. We have to approach it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up parting ways with the artist because I wasn't slick enough, you know, and I'm not trying to say that in any way, but what I said I wasn't slick enough. I wasn't trying to beat the industry over the head or beat. I'm like, I believe that things happen with a sweet start. You know, I think that things happen organically if you put them in the right hands. And it's a gentle touch. It's not pushy.
If it's dope, yeah.
If it's dope, that's my theory anyway. But it didn't work out.
What you're saying speaks to the expectation that artists have and what they see.
Yes.
They see things happen in a certain way. And they believe that that means that that's good marketing. That's good promotion. That's good such and such.
Oh, they have no idea.
And they have no idea the kind of manipulation, lying, cheating that goes on in order to achieve that look. So when they can't get the look, they believe that they're not being served. But if they were really being served, what they would really be getting is screwed. So I think a lot of times it's about the perception. Sometimes the artist and their perception of what is quote unquote successful, like Laia said, is problematic. But again, that goes back to the industry, the smoke and mirrors of it all,
mm-hmm.
and how it presents itself. It's, you know, it's a criminal outfit.
Yeah, I was about to say.
It's a criminal outfit.
It's literally a show about to come on. You know what's funny? It's literally a show on BET about the criminal outfit relation to the music business, where they have folks like, sir, I'm talking about you in a very positive way, sir. Haitian Jack, Miss Deb, Waka Flocka's mama, all these people who are speaking about just their relation to the streets and the music. But we all know that this industry, before all them, was, like Asia said, it goes back to that in the first place. It's all.
What I love is that we do have some artists now who like, I'm going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas yeah. I think, you know, we came up at a time where it was just very taboo to talk about it. The only people who would talk about it were artists who were older and the prime of their careers had
already
passed.
Got their money. They already got their
right.
money.
And so I think that now what we're seeing is artists that are a little braver,
mm-hmm.
right? And maybe they did read a thing or two, you know? And so they're kind of like, uh-uh. And
they got likes and streams. So they also feel like in a way that fuck you, I don't need you.
Anyway. I don't need you, but da da da. Right.
And who taught us? Who taught us that? Master P.
Oh, Master P.
Good old. What's his name, Perry? What's his real name?
Why you got me messed up? If you wouldn't have asked me, I would have. Percy.
Percy.
Good old Percy.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
By example.
He did.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
I done said this so much, I feel like I could choke myself, but I'm saying again. Glad it's night in the pips. You got your Chaka Khan. You got your Diana Ross. You got your Nipsey Hussle. You got... Listen.
I'm listening, I'm sorry.
You got your Nina Simone. You got your Billie Holiday. There's varying degrees of a career. There's varying degrees of success. It matters what is success to you. My goal has always been longevity. If I like doing this, and as long as I'm enjoying doing this, I hope to be able to do this, whatever this thing is, whatever, you know, the job is at hand. I want to be able to do this until I don't want to do it anymore. You know what I mean?
I don't know if I see that in a lot of artists these days. I don't know. I feel like a lot of folks are trying to get that bag and be out, Jill. But it's something to say, because I feel like, and I'm not an artist, but it feels like art is made in that way as well. Like your art is made in that way that you want to be here for a while. I don't know.
I don't know. Frankie Beverly and Maze.
Same thing, Asia.
And Bette Midler.
I hope that we get to hear the plethora of artists that do think this way.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of them. I think what happens is there's always going to be people who are at the top. And that's not always going to be reflective of the mentality that we talk about here. It just isn't. You're always going to have folks who think differently and who are functioning from a place from their heart and longevity and want to be doing this, and they love gigging and they're doing this and they're not trying to exploit anybody, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there's always going to be the mess. The mess is always going to be there.
And you're right, Asia. You know what? I want to correct myself, because, and matter of fact, sometimes I feel like you need one for the other. Even in radio, in Black radio, where people would complain that songs was played, you know, the same ones every hour or whatnot. And I used to be like, yeah, some of these songs, it's real easy to hear them a lot, right? But the real good stuff is hard, right? It's a reason for that. Like, know that if somebody's constantly feeding you something, that might not be the best for you. And I used to get in trouble for saying that on the radio, but that's the damn truth.
Yeah, that speaks to that choice. You were positioned to push back at a thing and you did that. You know what I mean? And somebody heard it, and many people heard it and appreciated that point of view, and to this day still do. The positioning is always going to be the way that we win this. I mean, that we win as much as we can. But the positioning can't, we've been trying that a long time, and we talk about this all the time. It's not like we haven't been trying that. Eventually, we're going to have to shut it down. But I will say this much. The music business has changed so much in the last few years that it got scared that it was going to go, that it was going to implode.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the most wonderful things to watch to a degree, because it was just like, oh, Massa scared, huh?
What you going to do, sir?
You seen Nat and them coming down the road?
Mm-hmm.
And you was like, oh, wait a minute. I think the sweet years are up. But one thing about the oppressor is that he's crafty. So for this new environment, I'm really curious to know what you guys are feeling and telling young people, because this isn't the industry we came up in. We're not experts of this.
No.
So I'm just curious what y'all are telling people, because I know young people are coming to both of y'all like, yo, what am I supposed to do? How do I, you know, outside of these things that we're telling them around, you know, contractual things, just about how to move.
It's a line from my show, but it hit me. Hazel says, if millennials have shit else, they've got the fucking audacity.
Baby.
Hi, young people. Hi, sweet baby. Hi. You're doing it different. You're doing it different. You do not have to fall prey to anything. I'm not saying that you won't, even with your good mind on,
but you don't have to do things that will make you stay up at night where you can't look yourself in the mirror. You don't have to do that. There's so many ways to skin a cat. There's, you know, that's gross, but there's so many ways to do what it is that you want to do.
Starting with your phone voice recorder, because when a motherfucker do some shit to you, get it on tape. I was just
you got your Voicy. You got all these apps that you can sing with yourself. You know what I'm saying? And people pay attention, and you can put out a song or two with a couple of friends, and then you say, I charge you $4 for this, and they pay it, and you say, hey, you know, that adds up. It's many ways to get where you want to go. On that path, you do not have to sell your soul. You do not have to put yourself in positions that will harm you. You don't have to do it. I'm here to tell you. You don't have to do it. I didn't have to fuck nobody. Yeah. No way. No time. Yeah.
That's a big point in that. Jill,
I did.
To,
oh, I did actually fuck somebody.
Oh.
I'm married to him, but you know.
Oh, we met for it. But, but you had a career before this. This is what we're saying, though. You had a deal before you got married.
You liked him before you started singing.
I'm just messing with y'all, but I feel where you're coming from. I do.
Hell yeah.
Because I do know for women that it can be, it's always extra tricky no matter what. I tell people this,
it's tricky for guys too.
Yeah, for guys too, for sure. Absolutely. Amen.
Especially now, yeah.
You're absolutely right.
We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic, 'cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
I've said this in different panels or whatever, is that one thing I feel like is never going to go out of style is community, because your resources are to your left and your right. They always are. The building of community makes your work and your craft stronger. And if you start looking at people, and one of the things I learned over the years when we were doing Kendrick Resistance stuff was that we'll interview somebody whose music we like. And as they start telling their story, oh, they're linked to like 5-6 other people. And I may not even know that, but that those artists, those producers, those writers were part of their community. And that the strength of the work that they were doing was tied into who their friends were. tied into the people they were just hanging out in the studio with, the people who were in that space with them during that time. It goes back to Harlem Renaissance. It goes back into what happened in Philly in the early 2000s.
I was about to say the perception of Black Lily.
Right. I mean, but even the perception of Black Lily, but even the thing that was actually real did have a sense of community in it, no matter what, no matter what other drama was happening, that sense of community was there and people did bounce off of each other and people did most definitely support one another and root for each other mm-hmm. and work together. So, and that mentality in rap music, I mean, hip hop music and soul music and jazz and gospel, you'll find that repeated every single place you see art being made. So I don't think that's ever going to go out of style. I think that thing will stand the test of time.
I like that. You gave a solution or a resource. It's like your community. Your network is your net worth. That, I will say, I don't know that it's for everybody, but I know when it comes to Laia St. Clair, my network is definitely my net worth. You are, because you see these two ladies? That was a lot of years and networking and getting drinking and stuff.
And being wonderful.
And be, yes. Yes, but those relationships are key.
That's and having immaculate titties, by the way. So
I say the same thing all the time. They're beautiful.
It's the bras. Girl. It's the bras, Jill. I give all credit due to you. I do.
Whose titties? Whose titties look like this?
Because we're talking about all kinds of things today.
If it were not for the butterfly bra, I'm sorry. Go ahead, boo.
Oh. Well, that's the second time in 2 days somebody to mention that bra to me.
Somebody said you need to bring that joint back.
I agree. I do own the patent.
Amen.
Say it again, Jill Scott.
Come on, you better teach and bring the lesson back.
She said she owned the patent.
Yes, I do.
You should bring the lesson back.
Yeah, I invented it.
That's my friend. She's so smart.
Sometimes being, and I'm just speaking from my position in this industry, sometimes being not the most famous person is a real place of peace of mind.
Figured that.
I think sometimes we might want to normalize not necessarily being uber famous. I like that I have an established, audience, but I think you do get to a point you can't control it. It happens to who it happens to. But when it doesn't happen, I think there's a place that we have to get to where it's just like, okay, let me consider the blessing in this moment because there is one. And you don't have to be always necessarily fair game for certain evils, certain things that people are coming from. People, the wants and the needs to always make money off you, to do this to you, to do that to you, to use you as a commodity, blah, 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 proximity, blah, 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 blah.
Tell you about your music while you're getting a pap smear.
Tell you about your music while you're getting a pap smear. That has never happened to me.
Yeah. Please take that into consideration.
Once it's gone, it's gone.
You can't get it back. Gone.
But I think more people need to see that light. People don't see that light, though, Jill.
I haven't seen, Jody Wiley in a long time. But if she came down the street and I saw her, I'd be like, oh, shit, that's Jody Wiley.
Rabbit hole comes.
Come on.
Here it comes.
However, going back to what you were saying.
You better do it.
When the fame once, is all, I mean, once it happens, it's happened.
It's just funny to me. People need to see like more working artists that can actually do make a living off their art that aren't super duper famous. But that's the dream. That's the goal, right? Like that's the initial goal, to be able to make a living and not have to do some other side job and just live, right?
Right.
Like,
and fame is the goal for certain people.
That's true. Right.
But then you start to see what comes with that.
Yeah. Laia, what's her name?
Who?
Leaky, 47.
Oh, nobody knows what she looked like? Yes. That's my girl. Baby, it's a look.
Oh, and she's so...
Who are you talking about?
Oh, Likely? Lakeely? I'm so sorry I'm getting this wrong.
Asia, you posting
her. Yo, she can spit.
Oh, she can spit and sing. God.
Yes,
oh, the MC. Is she the dope one with the dope flowers in this... Wait, okay.
No, she has the mask on. Made out of a bandana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, she is ill. I wouldn't know her. That is the smartest thing she could have ever done. I wanted her to stay in her anonymity, for her sake. But she's very smart, and she'll be just fine. Sia,
is out here. You don't know. She might be behind you at the gas station.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because her anonymity, she can go and do concerts.
That's true.
Some people.
MF Doom had his, but rest in peace.
MF Doom. Right. Nobody knew. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you can find a way to keep that, it's so precious.
Yeah.
It's so precious as an artist to just be able to sit in a park and have a moment. You know, I always go to the park. That's my shit. But to sit in a moment and just, I don't know, watch life happen. That's where a lot of inspiration comes from, just watching the world. People are interesting. You can see romance budding. You can see a fight about to start, you know, an argument or something. Mm-hmm. It's all so interesting.
Fatina and I used to go into restaurants and try to guess how long the couples had been together.
Oh.
By how they was acting at the table.
That's so kindred.
Well, it is so kindred.
I just want to say to everybody listening, like, we laugh, we joke or whatever, but this is a really great opportunity to get two different ideas of what this music business is. And not too different, but still, you guys went in different directions in a lot of ways. So I just think it's a nice time to just take advantage of this education, because it's a whole education. It's a whole education. Thank you, Asia and Jill. I'm acting like I'm a listener. Thank y'all.
Come on.
A pleasure.
I think
you've
cool
been in
it
too.
Yeah, you. I got to say, girl, stop.
Yeah.
You already know.
You stood your ground and you asked questions and you bucked against the system again and again and again.
Yeah.
So this is why we ended up being together after all of these years. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just were stars shooting, going different directions. Still, every now and then, I get a phone call. How you doing, girl? What you doing? What you reading? What you say? Don't say that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just having those moments. And then all of these years coming back together. It's about the decisions that you made and the ones that you didn't.
Yeah.
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 I think overall, I'm glad that the one thing I didn't listen to was that the way that my career had to look a certain way.
Me too.
You know, I'm really glad I didn't listen to that. You know what I mean? And I know Jill can relate to this as well, because, you know, I had a kid and I had another kid right before our first album came out. And then we were on the cover of the album. I was very pregnant. And just all of those things, like, oh, you won't ever be able to make it in this industry like that. Nobody wants to hear a married couple. Nobody wants to hear about love all the time. Mm. Nobody wants to... All the things nobody, quote unquote, wanted to hear. So I'm just glad that I didn't let... that we didn't.
And here we are in 2021 where somebody has built a Black love empire. Shout out to Tommy Oliver and Cody Elaine. I'm just...
Yeah, you know, we just spoke with them recently.
We did.
Yeah.
I did too. Mm-hmm. I'm just... That's crazy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
This conversation can absolutely go on forever. Really.
Mm-hmm.
It really
it could.
Because it's years and years of experience inside of something that has been both, there's moments of detriment and there's moments of sheer brilliance. Remember what to be grateful for. That's all of it, darling.
The ride.
That's all of it. The whole thing. Don't forget to be grateful in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's producer Eves back again to share the resources for this episode. Other than the tips that the ladies gave in the show, they also recommend the book, The Music Business Toolbox, Actionable Business Guidance for Musicians, From Recording to Royalties, by Brian Calhoun with Kristen Thompson. You should also check out the book, Everything You'd Better Know About the Record Industry, for artists, songwriters, producers, musicians, and music entrepreneurs. Both of them are useful guides for avoiding mistakes where you can and setting yourself up for success in the music industry. You can find links to these books in the episode description.
Yeah. Hi, if you have comments on something we said in this episode, call 866
Hey, Jill. If you want to add to this conversation, that's 866-439-5455. Don't forget to tell us your name and the episode you're referring to. You might just hear your message on a future episode.
Thank you for listening to Jill Scott Presents J.Ill, the podcast. This podcast is hosted by Jill Scott, Laya St. Clair, and Aja Graydon-Dantzler. Its executive producers are Jill Scott, Sean G., and Brian Calhoun. It's produced by Laya St. Clair and me, Eve Jeffcoat. The editing and sound design for this episode were done by Christina Loringer.
Do you remember the last point we made about the...
Was that making a bad decision can hurt.
That part.
You gotta think about what it is that you're doing when you walk in kind of thing. Huh? You gotta think about what's best for you. What do you need? Because it's your one life. It's your one life. You don't want to fuck it up by not thinking. Huh? Huh?
One life.
These are my thoughts here. I'm sharing with you.
J.Ill is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.